Let us read together
our passage for today. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desires and faults. Like the rest, we were by nature object of love. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raises us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Let us pray and tackle on these verses together. Precious Lord, we humbly come before you, Lord, this afternoon, this evening. Father, ask that you guide us and lead us, O Lord, making together in your word. Lord, we long that the Holy Spirit will grant us, O Lord God, understanding. Blessed Savior, that we add to the knowledge of your word. Father, that we draw near and draw close to you through what you are about, O Lord, to reveal to us through your scripture. And merciful Savior, we pray that you open our heart to receive your message. Blessed Savior, we pray that you also give us the grace to obey whatever you are about to communicate to us. Merciful Savior, if it's a rebuke, a loving rebuke from you, help us to receive it. If it's an encouragement, Lord, we praise you for it. If it's a correction, merciful Savior, help us to be corrected. And Lord, we commit the rest of our Bible study this evening before you. And in Jesus' name, we humbly pray. You're welcome once again. If you have anyone visiting us for the very first time, it's a privilege to have you with us here at Calvary. Some time back, I was reading a certain book. I come across a story. It was a story about the slavery trade, which you know that it was an evil practice in different nations across the Atlantic Ocean. And this particular story, it was about a young, beautiful lady. She was a slave. And as it was the custom or the way of selling people and buying them, a certain day she was taken to the market, of slaves. And a number of people was competing to buy her. Possibly most of them for different reasons, but whenever someone gets to earn a slave, they could use them in any way they want because they were like property. There are no respect to slave. You could use them anything. So the competition was fierce. At the end, there are two gentlemen who were fighting so hard to get this particular young lady. About 8 of the competitors just left along the way because the price for the
for that particular girl becomes too high for them. But these two gentlemen fight and fight and fought and fought. At the end of the day, one particular gentleman almost gave everything, everything he could give to just have this beautiful young girl. And after winning the competition, they handed over the trembling, afraid girl. This particular gentleman looked at her. He said to her, trembling, crying, "Young girl, you are free. That's for your freedom that I bought you." She could just not believe the words of this gentleman after losing almost everything, and turned to her and said, "You are free." That was unbelievable for her. She was so greatly moved by the love of this gentleman, who is willing to leave whatever he has paid to just let her go. All of a sudden, she turned to him also and said, "Master, you earned me. You have paid everything for me. I will serve you. I will do anything possible because I'm already yours." Now, this time, this young lady was willing to sell herself to the gentleman because of that love she had seen in him, though the gentleman said, "Go." So Jesus did something much similar to that. We have one thing in common. We were all once sold in slavery to sin. We're all born with a sinful nature. I guess it's until we come in contact with God's grace through Christ Jesus that we become free. And you're going to see that in details through this scripture that you're about to share together. Verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin." Not here Paul was talking to not dead people, but they were once dead. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin." It is until a man becomes alive spiritually that God can consider that man or woman alive. If you are familiar with your Bible, one day a man came to Jesus and said, "I'll follow you, but let me go and bury my father, then I'll come back and follow you." Jesus told him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you come and follow me." How many dead? There was one person, one dead person. But even those who are going to bury, Jesus called them dead. Why? This was a physical dead person with a multiple of spiritual dead people going to bury their physical dead. Jesus referred to them all as dead. Why? They were not spiritually alive. So Jesus wanted this gentleman to follow him to get life, spiritual life. Verse 2, "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Note here in verse 2, there is a lot of spirit mentions, kingdoms, rulers, and all this refer to the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of Satan. If a man is not yet crossing from death to life in Christ Jesus, he's still under the ruler or the leadership of Satan. So these rulers, this kingdom, these spirits, they are all referring to the devil, to Satan. And if you have never crossed from death to life in faith to Jesus, believe me, today you're still under the ruler and leadership of Satan. So don't wonder why you're doing what you're doing, because you are under certain power. You are controlled by the kingdom of Satan. On Sunday, I happened to meet a gentleman. He came to me as you pray always after service. And this gentleman come and say, "You know, brother, I'm tired of my life. I'm so frustrated. You know, I don't understand what's going on in my life. I just can't understand." And I just sensed that there was a lot more in this gentleman's heart. I decided to ask him to wait so that I can talk to him in details downstairs. When we went down, the officer began counseling him, get to know what's going on in his life, get to know what is deep inside. And this gentleman began telling me that he's living with a witch doctor, and he's getting funny dreams at night. He's tormented by, you know, this witch doctor in dreams. I noticed that this young man was in trouble. So I asked him, "Are you willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you ready to repent of your sin?" The gentleman said, "You know what? That's why I'm here. I want to try God. I don't understand what's going on in my life." As always, as best as I know how to lead a person to Christ, I lead him in a prayer, confession of sin and faith in Jesus. Before he could mention his sin, he was attacked. This gentleman began acting in a funny way. I just noticed that there was presence of demon force in the life of this man. I thank God that Pastor Jensen was not far away from me. I hired one man who was nearby and said, "Please call Jensen for me." The good news is, we worked together with Pastor Jensen, and the man was completely delivered. He confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he could see that he was completely free. So you might not be having demons in you, but if you're not saved, there is an amount of influence of that devil over your life. So that's what Paul is talking about here as he refers to the kingdom of Satan. Verse 3, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying and craving our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature object of love." Here the Bible doesn't give a distinction to men. Paul here said that all of us. That means at one point in our life, we also lived like the non-believers. We are also under the power of Satan. We are sinning naturally, because that's the way of every man, all of us. Remember, the Bible said that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if you are saved today, at one point in your life, you were like everybody else. And because of that, you are subjected to the wrath of God, or else to the judgment of God. The good news starts with in verse 4. Let us read together and see what happened. "But," whenever I see the word "but" in the Bible, I expect some good news. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions and sin. It is by grace you have been saved." Now we begin seeing some right in God dealing with us. We are from death. Now we begin approaching life. And this life, God given this life for us in Christ Jesus. And this was by grace. In verse 4, there is a word that I would like to differentiate from what I find in verse 5. There is the word mercy. In verse 5, there is the word grace. Never confuse mercy and grace. They are extremely different. Mercy is just forgiving someone his sins and leave them there. But if you cross from mercy to grace, you have not only forgiven a person, but you have even granted them what they don't deserve. Grace is undeserved favor, unmerited reward. As we go through these verses, we see more about it. As a matter of fact, in verse 6, the Bible says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." If you have been following carefully, you see that the three first verses deal with dead people or people who are under the power of Satan. Verse 1 says, you were dead. 2 say that we used to live under the power of Satan. 3 say that all of us at one time we were like them. But when you come to 4, you see that God's love began changing things. Now it's to 5. God's grace is now carrying us in verse 6 in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. From death to life. Not only to life, but in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. This is a good news. And there is no mention of works, of attending church, of doing any good. The Bible says, by grace in Christ Jesus, we move from death to life, to glory in heaven with Jesus Christ. Verse 7. In order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The only reason God is given here for saving us, for helping us to move from death to life, is just to demonstrate his great riches, his kindness, his mercy, nothing else. Not my good works, not your good works. God just wants to show how good he is. So when we reach in heaven, I guess we are not going to begin boasting of how much good we have done. It's going to be a time of praising him, of glorifying him, of lifting him up because of what he has done for us. There will be no room for boasting. As a matter of fact, it is mentioned here in verse 8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." There is a particular verse I love in the Bible. Don't remember exactly which book. That verse says that, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast? Today you see some mighty men of God seem that they are bigger than God, performing miracles or doing so-called wonders. They seem to be boasting in their wisdom, their anointing. But as far as I understand God's grace, there is nothing you and I have that we do not receive. And if we do receive anything from God, there is no room for boasting. It's for his glory. It's for his praise. In order to get a true picture of grace, I want to leave you with a picture of really and how really grace look like in the life of a sinful man. I will humbly ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. I want to start from verse 39 to 43. It's
a familiar verse with most of you. It deals with Jesus and the criminals, the two criminals on the cross.
I will read. One of the criminals hung there, rolled insult at him, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Note here that this particular criminal, not there were two. He was not so much interested in Jesus. He was interested in Jesus delivering him from the pain he was going through. In verse 40, we see a different approach of another criminal, but always, but it's a start of a good news. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence.
Consider this criminal at least recognized Jesus as God and rebuked his fellow. Don't you fear God? They are both criminals, but with different approach to Jesus.
Verse 41. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.
This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture of this criminal. We are punished justly. This criminal was willing and accept what he has done as wrong and agree with the punishment that he was going through. Different from the first one. Secondly, he noticed that Jesus is a holy man. He has done nothing wrong. In verse 42, this particular criminal turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In one way or the other, I guess I hope this criminal heard about Jesus and he had good stories and maybe deliverance and freedom, healings Jesus maybe have performed. I guess by that time they were not criminals, they were free doing their sinfulness. But somewhere, somehow, this particular criminal get to know the good news and that at the cross with Jesus, he could turn to him and say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He had a knowledge of Jesus being a king. He had an amount of belief in who Jesus was. The most glorious and beautiful picture of grace is in the verse 43. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, not tomorrow, not when I come back in my kingdom, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, Jesus promising kingdom to be in paradise with him. It's a condemned criminal on the cross. This particular criminal has never been to church before. And Jesus is not even asking him to go to church. He was never baptized either by water or by the Spirit. The only thing that this criminal did was to turn to Jesus and ask to be remembered. Faith in Jesus is enough for our salvation. The faith of this criminal took this criminal from death to life, from judgment to reward, from hell to heaven. That's what we call grace. Undeserved favor. Unmerited reward. Picture a criminal on the cross. And all of a sudden, a few seconds, because of his repentance, because of him noticing that he's a criminal, accepting the judgment he was going through, and turn to the only man who matters in the world as far as his sins are concerned, transported him from death to life, hell to heaven. Today, you'll be with me in paradise.
How many works did this criminal did? None. Some of us, we attend church from from Sunday school till we die and possibly miss heaven, or we miss the truth about God is what. But this was a dying criminal. Do you think that there's any difference between us and him? We are living criminals. How does God deal with living criminals? As far as God is concerned, Jesus said that he who begins a good work in us brings it to completion. The saving grace that Jesus granted to this criminal is the same saving grace that keeps on working in our heart till we die. In sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is that grace that works in us in transforming and changing us on a daily basis. So if we truly genuinely receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there shouldn't be a question mark in our life. There shouldn't be a very clear and different and distinguishing between us and the world, because the grace of God is at work in our heart. There is a gradual change from sin to righteousness, from unrighteousness to holiness. Remember, it is not by works, by grace in Christ Jesus. It's him who do the work, not us. The last verse in Ephesians, which is verse 10, said, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works in which God prepared in advance for us to do." Not that we are not saved by works, but after salvation, God actually saved us to do good works. Salvation results in good works. Grace always produces good works. And if you are an unproductive Christian, there is a question mark. Because God created us to do good works, which even, according to the scripture, prepared in advance. It is not something you just wake up and do. He has already prepared what you are doing before you were born. In Titus chapter 2, from verse 13 to 14, is what the word of God says. While we wait for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Jesus has given himself for us, as this gentleman surrendered his life for this particular young lady we are reading, where I was talking about. Same as Jesus, him giving himself for us, it's a reason, or it's a means, or else it's an encouragement for us to surrender our life to him. There is a great problem in the church today. For today, it's very difficult to distinguish between a Christian and a non-Christian. There is almost, the gap is almost bridged. You wonder whether really God's grace is still at work in our heart or not. So it's upon each and every one of us to really watch his life. Check really either you are in the grace or I am in the grace. For as far as the word of God is concerned, Jesus have redeemed us from all wickedness, and he purifies us to be people of himself, distinguished, separated, set apart, different from the world. I guess the Bible says that we are the light of the world, the salt of the world, But I don't think that we are sending that message to the world today. Like in our city, to call yourself a born again means a lot to different people, and more especially non-believers groups. They know born again for bad things. You can't now anymore use that as a means to justify your righteousness. So the world is watching, and it's our duty, it's our responsibility to be the people God has called us to be. We are not saved by works, but we are saved to do good works. In Philippians, the Bible says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." After receiving salvation or crossing from death to life, receiving the grace of God, we have a responsibility to work out our salvation. It's like a garden given to us, to which we are responsible to cultivate the garden, to take care of that garden, to make it fruitful. So as I said, if your life is not fruitful, wake up. Jesus Christ has set you free from wickedness. You are no longer under sin or under the dominion of the evil one. We are not even subjected to do what the world is doing, no matter what. For we are different. We are a people chosen by God. We are set apart. If God could command his people in the Old Testament that be holy, for I am holy, how much more men and women who are living now in Jesus Christ? People who have the Holy Spirit inside of them. Brothers and sisters, time to take seriously our Christian walk. And remember, Jesus said that he will never leave us, neither forsake us. It's my prayer that the Lord continue to guide you, to strengthen you, to give you the grace to turn from anything that might not be pleasing in his sight, that will totally surrender your life to him. You wouldn't lie to miss heaven while the criminal is enjoying heaven with the chance that you have had to start the gospel, the chance that you have had to live for him. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for the grace that you have ravished upon us in your Son, Christ Jesus. Merciful Savior, may love, Lord, O God, your word that say that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and willing to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Merciful Savior, your blood shed for our freedom. Jesus, you died so that we can be free. Master, it's my prayer, if really there is any wickedness in our heart, if there is anything wrong in us as your children, as your church, that you grant us the grace, you grant us the strength to turn from whatever, Lord God, my King, is not pleasing before you. Lord Jesus Christ, that will be holy as you are holy, that will live a righteous life, that will be the salt and the light in the world. So, Father, we stand before you as weak as we are, just crying out for your help. Blessed Savior, on an individual level, you who knows our hearts, my prayer, O Lord God, that you touch your sons and daughters in the area where they desperately need your help and carry them on, O Lord God, to righteousness, to a life that is fruitful for them, O Lord God, my King, to do the good works that you have created them to do. Master, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you because of who you are, not because of what we are. In the name of Jesus, we humbly pray.